This is IBM, the Islamic Broadcasting Network. The following program is sponsored by the Islamic Media Foundation, sharing the guidance of Allah through broadcast media and the internet.
This is The Life of Muhammad with your host, Sheikh Anwar Al Awlaqi, Imam of Dar Al Hijra Islamic Center.
Sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Alhamdulillah, wassalatu wassalamu ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam, sliman kathira. We'll move on to the hijrah to Abyssinia, the migrations. Actually, one more story that I would mention to you to illustrate the same point further. And this story was told to me by the person himself. Both stories were narrated to me by the persons themselves. This was an African-American who was a student at Berkeley University, University of California at Berkeley. And he heard about Islam, but he didn't really know much about it. African Americans tend to know about Islam because they would have relatives who are Muslim, or they would have a mosque next to them. I mean, there's a very old tradition of Islam among African Americans in America. So you would usually find that they would have one member of their family or one friend who embraced Islam or is a Muslim. So in general, they are more familiar than anybody else in America about Islam. So he knew about Islam, but he didn't know the details about it. He wasn't very interested in it. He said, one day, in the beginning of the semester, I was walking through campus, and a member of the Muslim Student Association was handing out copies of Qur'an, translations of Qur'an. So I picked up a copy, and on my way home, on the bus, had nothing to do, so I opened up this book that was given to me as a gift. I had no idea what it is. And I opened up the first page, which is Al-Fatiha. I thought that this is an introduction to the book, and who reads introductions? So I flipped the page. And I went straight to the body of the book. Now the first thing that he would see next is Surah Al-Baqarah. He said, I began reading. Alif Lam Mim, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ. There is no doubt in this book. No doubts in this book. He said, I was shocked by that statement. Usually when an author would write a book, they would start by apologizing for their mistakes, apologizing for their shortcomings. And here you have an author who is so confident about himself, he's stating that there's no doubt in my book. And that's the first thing that you see in front of your eyes. So I was quite amazed, and I wanted to know, who is the author of this book? I flipped the front cover, didn't see any name, looked at the back, didn't see any name. I didn't know who wrote this book. And I kept on reading. And then eventually I realized that this wasn't written by man. This comes straight from Allah Azza wa Jalla. The power and the confidence that faces you as soon as you open the book, he said, made my heart shake. And he said that was the reason why I became Muslim. Just that verse. There is no doubt in this book. Now again, that person who was giving out Qur'ans might be thinking, well, nobody's going to read this. I'm just wasting my time. I'll just do it because they asked me to. Because of that Qur'an, this brother became Muslim, and he's an imam, and he's very active in da'wah, and many people became Muslim through him. And that was a product of a very small effort. Alright, we move on to Al-Hijrah to Al-Habasha. There are two migrations that happened to Al-Habasha. The first one happened in the fifth year of Ba'tha, following Revelation. And it was composed of a small group, 12 men and 4 women. The second hijrah, migration, was a larger group, and it was composed of 83 men and 18 or 19 women. And this was more of a sporadic migration. Maybe they didn't go in one group.
Inshallah ta'ala, we'll take a break and we'll be back. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
We choose to go to the moon and do the other things, not because they are easy, but because they are hard.
We all face unique challenges in life, and through struggle, we progress. But what makes the difference between those who succeed and those who fail? It is a clear conviction in the higher ideals and purpose of life. Have faith.
This message is brought to you by your American Muslim neighbors and the Islamic Media Foundation.
Welcome back.
Now, how come there are two migrations to Al-Habasha? When the first group went to Al-Habasha, they heard a rumor that the people of Quraysh have become Muslim. Rasulullah ﷺ received the ayat of Surah Al-Najm, and he recited those ayat. And those ayat were so powerful that it had so much effect on the people of Quraysh. When they heard the last ayah, which is an ayah of sujood, and Rasulullah ﷺ and the Muslims made sujood, the kuffar made sujood with them. They were so in tune with the ayat, they made sujood with the Muslims. And this was the origin of that false rumor that the people of Quraysh became Muslim. So you had a group of the ones who made hijrah come back to Mecca to find out it was a false rumor. So now we had another hijrah, which was a larger group. Rasulullah ﷺ, when he saw the pain and suffering that his companions are going through, he said, why don't you go to Al-Habasha? Because therein is a king who does not oppress anyone. لا يظلم عنده أحد. The king is just and he does not oppress anyone. So they went to Al-Habasha, and the first to leave were Uthman ibn Affan and his wife, the daughter of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There is a narration that says that Uthman ibn Affan and his wife are the first to make hijrah in the sake of Allah after Lut. They went to Al-Habasha, and the second group came in. So they left Mecca. Does that mean that the people of Quraysh would leave them alone? No. Even though the Muslims in Abyssinia were no threat to Mecca politically, they were no threat to the economical interests of Mecca, nevertheless the people of Quraysh did not want to leave the Muslims alone. In other words, even if we are left alone, we're not going to leave you alone. We're going to stay after you until we destroy your religion. So the people of Quraysh assembled a delegation to go and meet with An-Najashi to ask him to turn over the Muslims. And who did they choose for this mission? Amr ibn al-As and Abdullah ibn Rabi'ah in one narration and Amr ibn Rabi'ah in another narration. But the central figure here is Amr ibn al-As. Amr ibn al-As was a diplomat, was a very intelligent man of Quraysh. He had wide connections. He was a friend of the kings of the world at that time. So he was the right person to choose. And he was a mastermind in plotting and planning. And you can see that he was very good in conspiracies against the Muslims. That was the personality of Amr ibn al-As before Islam. Amr ibn al-As, he went to An-Najashi And the plan was that he's going to go and meet the top officials first. And he's going to give every one of them gifts, or in other words, bribes. And he's going to present to them his case and say that in your land are some fools who ran away from Mecca. We want you to turn them over. So he wants to work it out with all of the top officials before he meets with Al-Najashi. So when he talks to Al-Najashi and he consults his officials, they will all give him a unified opinion that he should hand them over. So he went to every one of them, had a meeting with every one of them and gave them gifts. And then he went to meet Al-Najashi. And he has told the officials that, I prefer that you hand us over these people without having them meet Al-Najashi. I don't want them to meet Al-Najashi because their words are very effective. They feared Quran. So he worked out the plan and he went to meet Al-Najashi. And he told Al-Najashi that there are some fools among us who came to your land. We know them. And they left our religion. They didn't follow yours. And he went on and on and on. In the end he said, we want you to hand them over to us. Now all of the officials were already there and they said, yes, hand them over. And Najashi said, no, I will not hand over people who sought refuge in my land until I hear their side of the story. See the justice that Najashi had. And the choice of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to have his Sahaba go to the right place. So Najashi called the Muslims to come and meet him. The Muslims received a message. They were told that Amr ibn al-As has met with Najashi and Najashi wants to meet you. So they had a shura, advice, and Ja'far ibn Abi Talib was to be their spokesman, the only spokesman, and that they're going to speak the truth. They went in to meet Al-Najashi, and Najashi asked them, what religion are you following? You left the religion of your people, you didn't join my religion, you didn't join any of the religions of the world. Who are you? There's a hadith narrated by Umm Salama radiallahu anha. It narrates the speech that Ja'far ibn Abi Talib gave in front of Al-Najashi. And I want to read the exact words of Ja'far because there's a lot to learn from this presentation.
Allah Ta'ala will take a break and we'll be back. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Sallallahu ala Muhammad. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallallahu ala Muhammad. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
On the authority of Abu Dhar al-Ghifari, may Allah be pleased with him, who said that among the sayings the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam relates from his Lord, may he be glorified, is that he said, O my servants, I have forbidden oppression for myself and have made it forbidden amongst you, so do not oppress one another. O my servants, all of you are astray except for those I have guided, so seek guidance of me and I shall guide you. O my servants, all of you are hungry except for those I have fed, so seek food of me and I shall feed you. O my servants, all of you are naked except for those I have clothed, so seek clothing of me and I shall clothe you. O my servants, you sin by night and by day, and I forgive all sins, so seek forgiveness of me and I shall forgive you. O my servants, you will not attain harming me so as to harm me, and you will not attain benefiting me so as to benefit me. O my servants, were the first of you and the last of you, the human of you and the jinn of you, to be as pious as the most pious heart of any one man of you, that would not increase my kingdom in anything. O my servants, were the first of you and the last of you, the human of you and the jinn of you, to be as wicked as the most wicked heart of any one man of you, that would not decrease my kingdom in anything. O my servants, were the first of you and the last of you, the human of you and the jinn of you, to rise up in one place and make a request of me, and were I to give everyone what he requested, that would not decrease what I have any more than a needle decreases the sea if put into it. O my servants, it is but your deeds that I reckon up for you, and then recompense you for. So let him who finds good praise Allah, and let him who finds other than that blame no one but himself.
Welcome back.
Ja'far said, and Ja'far is the cousin of Rasulullah, he's the brother of Ali ibn Abi Talib. He said, O King, we were a people of polytheism. We worshipped idols, ate the meat of animals that had died, offended rules of hospitality and permitted things forbidden, as in the shedding of one another's blood and so on. We completely ignored matters of right and wrong, and so God sent to us a prophet. So notice the opening of the speech is talking about their background. I want you to follow the speech and look at how Ja'far ibn Abi Talib arranges speech. Keep in mind that he is talking to somebody who has no background whatsoever about Islam, doesn't know anything about it. He's speaking to someone who is Christian, and he's speaking to a king. So he gave him background information of who we used to be. This was our situation. We were people of shirk, who used to worship idols. We used to eat the meat of dead animals. We offended rules of hospitality and permitted things forbidden. We used to shed each other's blood. We completely ignored matters of right and wrong. So he gave him an impression that we used to live in a chaotic stage. And then he said, and so God sent to us a prophet from among ourselves whose honesty and trustworthiness we knew well. With this statement, he has established credibility in the prophet. So now An-Najashi knows that Muhammad ﷺ is from among the people. His people know him very well. They know his trustworthiness and they know his truth. He summoned us to pray to God alone and without associate, told us to respect rights of kinship, to honor rights of hospitality, to pray to God the Almighty and Glorious, to fast for Him and to worship none other than Him. Here he gave him issues of Tawheed, oneness of Allah, and also the morals that Islam teaches. He gave him a little bit of both. And he said, and so he called us to God to affirm His oneness, to worship Him, and to tear down all the other stones and idols we and our forefathers had worshipped apart from Him. He ordered us to be truthful in our speech, to keep to our trust, to respect kinship ties and hospitality rights, and to abandon things forbidden and the shedding of blood. He forbade us to do anything immoral, to tell lies, to misuse the fund of orphans, or to make false accusations against women of virtue. He ordered us to worship God and to associate no other God with Him. He told us to pray, to give alms, and to fast. And then he enumerated for him all aspects of Islam. Can anyone have any disagreement with anything that Ja'far said? Truth, trustworthiness. So it's important when you're speaking to somebody who doesn't know anything about Islam, to illuminate to them the aspects of Islam, the good teachings of Islam. Sometimes in our da'wah we assume that people know that Islam teaches good. Many don't. And Ja'far took that into consideration and he went through the morals and the character building that Islam promotes. In addition to talking about the ibadat, he spoke about salah, zakah and siyam, and he also spoke about tawheed, which is very important to present. The worship of Allah alone and tearing down the stones and idols. You can also notice that it was very brief and to the point. He didn't go on and on and on in details. He didn't turn it into an argument or a debate. Because remember, he's dealing with a king. You can't argue with such a person if you want to bring them closer to Islam. So he made it a very short and brief presentation, but it's complete, it's comprehensive. There's nothing missing. And then he said, and so we believed in him and trusted him. Following him in the instructions he brought from God, we worshiped God alone without partner and associating no one with him. We forbade what he has forbidden and considered permissible what he allowed us. But our people aggressed against us and harmed us, seeking to draw us out of our faith, to return us to the worship of idols instead of God, and to have us again consider permissible the abominations we had previously allowed. When they treated us with violence and persecution, besieged us, and prevented us from performing our religion, we left for your country and chose you above others. We desired your hospitality and hoped we would not be harmed in your domain, O King. Wonderful ending.
Inshallah ta'ala, we'll take a break and we'll be back. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
He's lazy. She's stupid. He's a racist. That one's greedy. And there's a terrorist.
If you look at people and all you see are labels, everyone loses.
Labels hurt all of us and they're wrong.
Every one of us is unique, a one-of-a-kind original.
Every one of us is a one-of-a-kind original.
Every one of us is a one-of-a-kind original. Our diversity is our strength. Instead of stereotyping, we can all learn from each other.
Don't let prejudice shape your view. Take the time to get to know people and see for yourself who they really are.
We are all one, one of a kind.
Stereotyping is wrong, and it hurts all of us. Stop stereotyping.
A message from your American Muslim neighbors and the Islamic Media Foundation.
Welcome back.
Let's look at the statements before that. He said our people aggressed against us, harmed us. They tried to force us to give up our faith. They besieged us. They persecuted us. Don't you think that this will strike a chord with a Najashi who's coming from a Christian background that stresses the issue of suffering and sacrifice? So these words must have brought the Najashi closer and would throw in his heart feelings of mercy towards these people and a feeling of shared, of something that we have common between us. This suffering sounds like the suffering Isa went through. Sounds similar to what the prophets went through. Because this is a man who was steeped in his religion. And then in the end, Ja'far ibn Abi Talib said, the reason why we came here is because we were looking forward to your hospitality and we chose you over all other kings of the world. And Najashi, the Negus, replied, Negus is the translation of Najashi. He said, did you bring anything with you from what he brought? And Najashi now wants to hear Qur'an. Ja'far ibn Abi Talib recited some ayat of Qur'an. Which ayat did he choose? There's many ayat that he could choose. Which ayat did he choose? Surah Maryam. Look at the choice of ayat. He recited to him verses from Surah Maryam. Umm Salama says that, I swear, the Negus wept so hard, his beard was soaked. And all his bishops cried so hard, they wet their Bibles. So it must have been an emotional presentation and recitation to cause a Najashi, the king, and his bishops to cry. And Najashi wetted his beard and the bishops wetted their Bibles, which were laying in front of them. One brother, he was working as a taxi driver in the US. He said, I was asked to drive a priest from Coronado Island to San Diego. Coronado Island is an island outside of San Diego, in the US, which was quite a long distance within the city. And it was very late at night. So we had a conversation and he asked me, what are you? I said, I'm a Muslim. Who are you? He said, I'm a Catholic priest. And I'm here for a convention. So this brother said, do you know that our Quran has spoken about Jesus? Would you like me to recite to you some verses in Quran about Jesus? He said, yes, go ahead. So the brother said, I went on reciting verses from Surah Maryam and translating them. And I kept on going, on and on and on, and the priest was silent, sitting in the back. It was late at night, and he was sitting in the back. He said, and then suddenly the priest told me to stop, this is my destination. The brother said, when I looked at him, I saw tears running down his cheeks. That is how strongly influenced he was by the verses of Surah Maryam. He said, but the good thing after that, he gave me $100 tip. So people who love Isa, who love Jesus, when they hear the story of Jesus in Quran, it's quite emotional. So it caused Najashi to weep. صلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا.
صلى الله على محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم صلى الله على محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم
This program has been sponsored by the Islamic Media Foundation, sharing the guidance of Allah through broadcast media and the internet.